Paranormal with Jeremy Scott. Somewhere between abnormal and paranormal.
You know, I always find it a little interesting when I'm able to see with Jedi vision, I guess is what I'll call it. Light years ahead, it does seem, over others when we put together the show sometimes. I mean, I'm not clearly here trying to brag, although in this case, I'm kind of trying to brag because in this case, ladies and gentlemen, we had this story for you back in January. And what I'm talking about is a story that we posted at paranormalradio.com. We reported this story first online, and then we also made a video about it of a crash that happened in Pennsylvania involving a vehicle that was carrying research monkeys. Now, this may sound like a science fiction plot, but it actually happened. And for those who didn't catch that video, let me give you a quick recap of what happened. This story was posted on January 27th at paranormalradio.com. Entitled, Witness Becomes Sick After Truck Carrying Lab Monkeys Crashes. This happened in Pennsylvania on a Friday afternoon. There was a truck that carried about 100 lab monkeys that crashed. And a woman who got out to help at the scene became sick and was put on medicine afterwards. At first, they tried to say that, well, they said that she was on antivirals and that she had her first dose of the rabies vaccine, which made incredible sense at that time. If you're coming into contact with monkeys that are being transported in a makeshift pickup truck, basically, in crates along a highway from one place to another, and there are conflicting reports about where those monkeys came from and about where they were headed. So if you were encountering a situation like that, and maybe you weren't aware that these were research monkeys, and you thought maybe these were just monkeys from a farm or from a zoo or something like that, you may not take precautions. And it sounds like this woman did not take precautions, and she came in contact with these monkeys. But then the story changed a little bit. Then they said that, she did not get sick from the primates, that the primates, that these monkeys, macaws, were not the source of her sickness. Rather, she had a convenient bout of COVID-19. Which either way, whether these monkeys were carrying COVID or whether they were carrying something like monkeypox, that would be a normal thing to happen after an exposure, is that someone would be put on antivirals and would be put on the rabies vaccine. It seemed to be that, that there might have been a deliberate collision, in fact, that this pickup truck that was hauling these monkeys in a makeshift trailer, if we could even call it that, collided with this dump truck. And this woman, Michelle Fallon, her name, had been driving behind the pickup truck when the driver seemingly pulled out in front of the dump truck, causing the collision and spilling the crates of monkeys. So she got out to assist and asked the driver, apparently, if the trailer was okay, not knowing apparently that there were monkeys inside at that time. And the owner or the carrier of the trailer, the cargo, said, if you come near a crate, don't touch it, but would not elaborate. Or apparently, the woman says he did not say that, but if he had said that, she would have been more careful. Now, these monkeys came into the U.S. from the island nation of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean. And various reports from what our news team was able to dig up back in January of this year is that they were destined for some sort of CDC-approved quarantine facility in either Florida or Missouri. This facility remained unnamed. Some of the monkeys had escaped from local reports. There were four monkeys that escaped, and a search ensued to try to get these monkeys back in custody, so to speak. They were able to recover all of the monkeys. Now, if you know anything about macaws, and I believe I'm saying that correct, they are considered highly valuable, which means they're worth a lot of money, as much as $10,000 each. And we don't know exactly how many of them were in the back of that rig. It makes them highly valuable for experimental research. Now, one of the diseases that is spread by these kinds of monkeys is herpes B. That can be transmitted through saliva, through feces, and urine. But that's just one of the diseases that these animals are known to carry. Would it be far-fetched to believe that there could be some sort of connection with what happened there in Pennsylvania in January, more than 4 months ago, with what is currently playing out right now with the monkeypox outbreak that has the world literally freaking out once again? It's hard to wonder if people are wearing the masks again because of monkeypox or if because of COVID-19. Because conveniently, well, you now have a situation in which one crisis or one pandemic is conflicting conveniently with another. What, Jeremy, bring up some sort of conspiracy theory? That's exactly what I'm bringing up here, friends. But I'm not basing it specifically on a crash involving research monkeys that came from some island nation, and we're going to some CDC-approved research facility, and maybe a deliberate crash. I mean, I'm just giving you the facts. And that these monkeys got out, and that they may have infected this woman. They may have infected others. Who knows who came in contact with these monkeys? We don't know exactly where they were headed. We don't know exactly the purposes. But you see, last March 17th, when much of the country was literally still under lock and key due to a virus known as COVID-19, at the Munich Security Conference, well, there was a tabletop exercise, which, if you're not familiar with the term, it's basically a dry run, where at least it is outlined what is supposed to or could happen. And in this case, much like what happened before the outbreak of COVID-19, was a tabletop exercise simulating a deadly monkeypox outbreak. This report was released in November. And in May of 2022, almost seemingly exactly on cue, you can see the timeline here, friends. You can see what is being predicted and how it is playing out. This available on the website nti.org. From November 2021, the entire PDF is online. NTI standing for Nuclear Threat Initiative. We just did a show on nuclear weapons. And I'm a kook, right, for thinking that there's some sort of connection here, right? So NTI.org puts this timeline up on their website. And we're going to put the link out there and make sure everybody sees this. But in what they say is move one under scenario design summary, dated May 15th, 2022, an attack, as they say, a monkeypox outbreak causes 1,400 cases and four deaths, but there are no international warnings or advisories in place. And then by January of 2023, so about 8 months from now, This scenario outlines 83 countries being affected, with 70 million cases worldwide and over 1 million deaths. It turns out to be vaccine resistant. So folks who took a COVID-19 vaccine, now we have a situation with a different virus that is elusive to vaccine. And I think at that point, people will realize it is monkey see, monkey don't. It's a convenient play on words, but how long are we going to allow this charade to continue? Are you going to continue to stand for what is no doubt a manipulated crisis? Let me continue. International supply chain challenges. This is January of 2023. Any correlation to what's going on right now? And they're saying food shortages are going to come. They're already here. Baby formula. What will next week and the next year be? You got to go to paranormalradio.com/food and stock up now, because we don't know what is to come. International supply challenges, January 10th, 2023, outlined in this scenario. Again, if you're just joining us, from the Munich Security Conference annual exercise, March 17th, 2021, report released November of this past year. It continues to grow up to 480 million cases and 27 million deaths by next May. So from 4 deaths in May of 2022 to 27 million deaths in a year. And by December of 2023, we would be talking about billions of cases and more than 271 million deaths. This scenario also reveals that there's some sort of terrorist origins, some infiltration of a civilian bio lab. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, friends. The fact is, this was actually discussed, and this was literally put on the table. And it is not the first time that there has been a demonstrable simulation of an attack prior to its release. If we go back to a show we did in April of 2020, so this would have been 2 years ago, right around the time everybody's going into lockdown, and people are still trying to understand the virus and understand why we're being put in lockdown. Well, what are we doing at that time? We're talking about something known as Event 201. And another operation known as Crimson Contagion. Event 201, hosted by the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, October 18th, 2019, in New York City, that basically demonstrated a zoonotic global catastrophe. And Crimson Contagion happened in 2019. HHS was involved in that. You can't make this stuff up, friends. The fact of the matter is, you have to know how a population would react to such an outbreak, to such outbreaks, in order to escalate things. I don't say this to freak you out. I don't say this because I want you to go buy your emergency food. I would be doing this show tonight if My Patriot Supply was not a sponsor of mine. We're living in the times where everything that was fun to watch on a sci-fi movie is playing out right before us. And if you want to know how a population is going to react to a certain event, you have to test them. And that's exactly what they did with COVID-19. They tested us. They tested a lot of people. A lot of people failed that test in a variety of ways. And now we have something on the heels of COVID-19 that we're being told Well, you know, there's no reason for panic. But isn't that what they told us at the beginning of COVID-19? And that we didn't need to wear masks? It wasn't something, you know, worth doing. It wouldn't really make a difference. When it was actually spreading by whatever means and whatever origin, I think we know, based on this exact simulation that I just outlined happening with the monkeypox virus. And they certainly don't, they don't waste any time. Because if this exercise led to the current monkeypox outbreak, we're talking about basically a year from the time it was put on the table, literally, to the time that it started all playing out. And I've already heard the conflicting information that it is either going to be spread by only skin-to-skin contact, or that it might turn into something that is respiratory. Let me tell you, friends, monkeypox is not a respiratory virus. And so when you hear people say, well, we're going to have to stay in masks, and, you know, they're going to have to develop some sort of vaccine. I mean, that scenario says the vaccine's not going to be effective. Now, particularly this spreads through skin, through rashes, through blood, through the respiratory tract, through mucous membrane. Even animal-to-human transmission may occur if there's a bite or a scratch, or if you're preparing meat. Maybe there's direct contact with bodily fluids or lesions. Even indirect contact can lead to this. It can be spread through bedding. Bedding can become contaminated. Very important to be washing sheets and blankets and pillows and pillowcases. But this is human-to-human transmission, but not through respiratory droplets. It's through skin-to-skin contact. So let's keep that in mind. I'm not a doctor, but I have a little common sense in my head, and I know how viruses spread, and I know when this is a little bit too suspect. And already, even though here, they're saying, well, we should be concerned, but we shouldn't be concerned as much as we were with COVID-19, which rings very, very similar to what we were told at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. There are already some countries, as this monkeypox outbreak spreads, which is something that rarely ever happens outside the country of Africa and should be suspicious as well. There are countries who are already imposing lockdowns and quarantines, and they're telling their citizens, you need to lock yourself up and don't have any contact with anybody. They're probably telling them to wear the mask. And the most extreme thing of all is the amount of time they're telling these people to quarantine. Monkey see, monkey don't. Into the paranormal. We'll continue.
We don't fly by the seat of our pants, although that would be quite a sight. You're traveling into the paranormal with Jeremy Scott.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer. Save the money, save the hassles, and get the better blue pill. Call 800-572-9571. That's 800-572-9571. 800-572-9571.
Monkeypox.
An unprecedented global spread of monkeypox has the CDC on alert.
We need all the bills of lading from ships arriving from Africa in the last 3 months. George. Shall I cough on you, George?
No.
Patient is now isolating at home and is not in contact with anyone else.
Nearly 200 confirmed cases in at least 18 countries.
And experts say dozens more are suspected.
It is something that everybody should be concerned about.
I just don't think it rises to the level of the COVID-19.
Monkeypox is primarily spread through sustained physical contact, such as skin-to-skin touch or someone with an active rash.
The CDC is reporting many of the cases so far are among gay and bisexual men, though the disease can be passed to anyone.
Shedding light on everything the lamestream media doesn't want you to know about, and everything else they don't care to investigate. You're traveling with Jeremy Scott into the paranormal.
You know, believe what you want to believe, but I'm just saying, don't be played by this. If you want to take the evidences I've presented that others have presented, and I gather my information from a variety of sources, you know, you can use it for the better. But I certainly don't expect to convert everybody tonight. Monkey see, monkey don't. It feels like we're on the precipice of another pandemic scenario playing out in this country and many others. And I just wonder how many folks are going to tolerate it. 855-790-8255 is our toll-free number. That's 855-790-TALK or outside North America, 503-506-0396 and on Skype at ITP51. Interested in what you might have to say about this whole situation here. You know, I mentioned what other countries are doing, and what they are doing is they're freaking out because they're worried that a virus that spreads with skin-to-skin contact is worth shutting everything down. Now, think about this, friends. Skin-to-skin contact. Where else do you have skin-to-skin contact with someone? I mean, I'm not trying to be gross, but the only place that you have skin-to-skin contact with someone is in a very intimate act. Likely in the privacy of your own home or some other person's home. And so quarantining just on the surface doesn't make any sense because we're quarantining people to stay home. And if people are staying home, well, they're more likely to have skin-to-skin contact. I just chuckle because is anybody else seeing this? Am I the only person seeing this and wondering a quarantine for a virus that is spread through skin-to-skin contact primarily? So we're worried about folks, you know, basically, as the montage said, spread through gay and lesbian and bisexual individuals primarily. But it's possible to spread to others. Well, of course it is. Because if you're naked where somebody else is then going to be naked and the surface was not sanitized, maybe like a gym, I'd hate to think any other scenario that could come out of that. But if that was the scenario in which, you know, this happened, maybe it would make sense to shut down gyms or pools or something like that. I mean, if you don't really know how this might play out, but the thing is, it's monkeypox. It's not like a new novel coronavirus. It's monkeypox. There have been monkeypox outbreaks before. There will be monkeypox outbreaks again. It usually doesn't happen in the US and the UK and Australia. It just doesn't. And so a quarantine which I haven't even gotten to how long they want people to quarantine. But the thought of a quarantine just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. I don't know. Maybe you can convince me. Hi, Bella in Oregon. You're on Into the Paranormal. Hi, thanks for calling in. It's been a while.
Hi. Yes, it has. Hi, Jeremy. I had a couple, one question is what happened to the woman who came upon the crash? And two things, also to add to it, is the disease can, at least the monkeypox, could mutate. I could see that happening if enough people got it and it spread unknowingly through the population. That happens with chickenpox sometimes. It can go into respiratory. I believe if it gets to that point, we will see lockdowns. That and a lot of deaths. It takes a lot out of your body, dehydrates you. I had severe chickenpox as a child, and mine started progressing internally, and it was no fun. You know, 104 degree temperature. The other thing I wanted to ask was, is there any protection people have if they've gotten a pox-like disease like chicken pox, cow pox, or the smallpox vaccination, which I don't think, if you're in my generation, I was born in the 80s, we didn't receive smallpox vaccinations, so would we be more likely to develop, varieties of these pox viruses or not. I haven't heard many people talk about even the crash, let alone ramifications of all these types of viruses that, you know, could become major problems in the future. And I think you really hit it nail on the head that, you know, in many ways, COVID was a test run. Whether you think COVID was purposefully released or not, it can't be denied that there are, you know, places that are researching it. They are researching the vaccine hesitancy and why that occurred and how it was managed. The James Ponder spoke about what happened at Katrina, that is, you know, related in a way, because back when Katrina happened, a lot of people assumed, yep, they'll get help. You know, it'll only be a day or two. And that just didn't happen. So, and even with Katrina, not many answers were even given to some of the people that had to be displaced out of their homes because of the mismanagement of the local governments and federal, in my opinion. I can stay on or I can leave you to digest it.
Well, I will just say I'm not a medical expert, but the president, that being Joe Biden, did say this past week that the smallpox vaccine does work against monkeypox, which...
Okay.
This would tell you that this has to be on their radar then, because I don't think that the president would speak about something in which he hasn't been briefed on. As far as what happened to the woman, I don't know. It's a mystery. I did see that they tried to spin it, as I said earlier, in which that they first said, well, she's being treated with antivirals and with rabies medication, which I thought was very, very feasible, that if she was in contact with monkeys, we don't know what kind of diseases or whatnot they could have, so it would make sense for those treatments. But then they tried to just say, she had COVID, and that her sickness that she was experiencing was just because of COVID. It couldn't have anything to do with the actual crash. You bring up some very good points. I appreciate the call, Bella, okay?
You're very welcome, Jeremy, and thank you.
Yeah, good to hear from you again. And I always find it a little skeptical when organizations who might have a little bit of bias weigh in on matters in which they try to dilute the connections that we've tried to make here tonight. when they try to say that there is absolutely no evidence that those monkeys from the traffic crash January of this year in Pennsylvania were infected with monkeypox and that they spread it to humans. But the flip side of that is that there's also no evidence that they weren't infected. And so you can't prove a negative, basically. If you have no evidence for something, but you also can't prove the opposite, and we've been talking about tabletop exercises tonight, we have to keep that on the table. We can't just push it off the edge and get rid of it and say that we're just going to believe what we're being told. The fact of the matter is we know that these missions happen, that people who experience a variety of phenomena are told to shush about it. And in some cases, people come after them and tell them to shush, or they make threats, or sometimes those people just go away. Sometimes people know a little bit too much. But I think most folks are a little bit smarter now than they were 2 years ago. I think May 2022 versus May 2020 is a drastic difference. I think the light bulbs have gone off in more cases, in more people's minds. And that's all we're trying to do is get people to realize that this may not just be as it's being portrayed. I was talking about the quarantine period, which, by the way, if you can answer the question, why would we quarantine people for something that spread through skin-to-skin contact? Again, something that would be an intimate experience between two or more individuals, again, in the privacy of their home or some other place. So we're going to lock them down and have them quarantine for, get this, 21 days. Not 2 weeks. Not 10 days. Not 5 days. A very specific 21 days. Now, where is this being implemented? Thankfully, not here in the U.S., but it is being implemented in places like Belgium and in Germany. Belgium, the first to do so. Like I said, if you want to wear the mask because you think it's going to protect you from COVID-19 and now the monkeypox, and that you might want to wear two or three masks because of it, or that we might see a return of the face shield, I think that's over-exaggerating, but that's my opinion. I think we're going to see a lot more folks doing it, sadly. Because it's monkey see, monkey do, right? What you see others do around you becomes like a social thing. If you're going out, like, Memorial Day weekend here, you're going out on a Saturday night or a Sunday night because you got Monday off or whatever, and you're going to a social event, you know, you want to read the room and you want to know what others are going to be wearing. You want to know if you can dress casual, if you got to dress up, or if nobody really cares. You certainly don't want to show up to a situation underdressed. I mean, that's the worst. Showing up someplace overdressed, people just, you know, ask you if you've been to a funeral or you've been to a wedding or did you just get off work or whatever the case happens to be. So you always want to read the room and know exactly what it is that you're dealing with before you make a buffoon of yourself. And that's what's going to be happening over the next coming days and weeks and months in this country and in others is going to be another social experiment. That's the nice way of putting it. Because others are going to start looking around, and it'll start with one person who decides that, they haven't been wearing the mask for a while, but they're going to go back to the mask. And then another person. And then another person. And then another person. And before you know it, we're all going to be back in masks, back indoors, and then what? another vaccine, and then a second dose, and then a third, and then a fourth. Does anybody see where this is going? I'm sure we do. I'm sure a lot of us see exactly where this is going. And I would hope that at this point, people would just know that this is how it's going to be. It's clearly not a situation of local politics, because this is a global agenda here. Not all the food and the baby formula and everything that we need to survive comes from this country. We import a lot. In fact, we import more in this country than just about anybody else. Is that because we're not hardworking enough? Is it because we think we're privileged enough? Or that our you-know-what doesn't stink? But here's the time, friends. And when we've outlined in the last couple of hours about how we can take this into our own hands. I don't know about you, but living off the grid, living in a bunker, living somewhere where it's just me and those I trust and what we have and what we can gather, fending for yourself with all these situations at play seems like it is the only possible solution to the crises that we are in. And so how do you prepare for those crises to come? If you want to stay in your home, which is the majority of people cannot pick up and leave. If you want to stay in your home, there are things you can do to protect yourself from the inevitable, something like a solar flare or an EMP, even lightning strikes. And that's with our product EMP Shield, not our product, but the product that can protect you and your family, your home and your vehicle. It's called EMP Shield, and it's available at parabnormalradio.com/EMP. The other product that we have is My Patriot Supply, which is not only emergency food, but it's water filtration, water purification, which is a huge, huge deal, especially when you have power outages and global grid meltdowns. You're going to need some other way to filter that water that doesn't rely on power. So My Patriot Supply is not just food, and it's actually good food. I've had it myself, but it's things that can save your life, and that's available at parabnormalradio.com/food. So my thanks to EMP Shield and to My Patriot Supply. By the way, it's $50 off the EMP Shield if you go to parabnormalradio.com and click the banner there. Or go to parabnormalradio.com/EMP. I think the time is now for us to all get serious about this, because we do not know what is ahead. We have an indication. We've been told what the game plan is and what the end game is. We've even been given a timeline. How many of us will actually study that timeline and choose to make those moves that put us in a position to be ahead of the game? Our website, parabnormalradio.com, and I hope that you will become a member of our brand new subscription service, which is Podcast Plus. You can sign up for that at parabnormalradio.com. Click on the icon for Podcast Plus. It's $5 a month, and you get access to all of the shows that go beyond 2016. Done a lot of shows. We've been opening up a lot of eyes to these subjects over the years, and I never take for granted the opportunity to sit in with you and discuss these subjects. From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon, somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, God bless everyone and good night.